Shall we please pray whilst we are standing? Everlasting Father, we thank you so much. We bless you for this great opportunity. Lord, we ask that you have your way. In the time that we are going to spend, may your perfect will concerning this service be done in the name of Jesus. Lord, speak through me this morning. Minister to someone, that at the end of this service, may everyone connected to this service receive insight and inspiration in the name of Jesus. We bless you, everlasting Father. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Praise God. Please, you may be seated in the presence of the Lord. I want to say a very big thank you to Reverend Steve, Reverend Stanley Mensah, for this privilege of being here. I do not take this for granted at all. Not at all. I'm standing in the pulpit of my fathers, and I don't consider it a right. It's a privilege. We bless God for bringing us this far. In fact, let me quickly mention this. I was supposed to be here, I think, about 2 or 3 weeks ago. I know the weekend of 20th, 21st of May, when you had the singles and the relationship event. But I explained to Reverend Steve that I had to travel that weekend. And so, knowing Reverend Steve, he said, no problem, you travel, you go and come back. You are not escaping this. When you come back, I'll bring you to come and do yours. So I'm here to obey the instruction. Amen. And I must say, to the glory of God, that later on I found out it was God that made me travel. Because whilst I was away, I had some interesting things going on. During the rains over that weekend, the lightning decided to visit my house. And it didn't only visit my house, it visited the prayer room. The place that I was supposed to be Saturday night, if I was in this country, it turned it into a bomb site. Thank God I was not there. Our God is faithful. Amen. Our God is faithful. If it had not been for that preaching assignment in the UK, I would have been in that room. And when the electrician came, had a look around, he said to me, he said, Pastor, if you were in this room, there was no way you wouldn't have been hit by what happened. But we bless God for deliverance. Amen? We bless God for deliverance. And that is why we should not take any day that God gives us for granted. Not at all. Whatever it is that the Lord does for you, every single day, when you wake up and you realize you are still alive, be thankful to God. Amen? Be thankful to God. Well, this morning, as I said, I came to complete an assignment because I didn't show up during the event. So Reverend Steve said, you are going to come and you are going to preach 3 times today. So today, I'm here. From morning to night, I'm with you. Amen? I also realized that there is a 21 days of his glory going on, a time of fasting and praying. And I would like to believe that we are fasting. Amen. And whenever it's a time of fasting and prayer, it's a time for you and I to wait upon the Lord. So I want you to indulge me in this. As I sat down and I saw this thing, I just said to myself, hold on. Before we go into anything, there is at least one thing. One thing that I want you and I to pray about. Is that okay? It's a time for waiting upon the Lord, and I believe that it's important that you and I connect to the Lord in an unusual way. The Bible says in Luke chapter 5, I read the scripture and we pray. I just give you a quick summary because of time. Most of us know about the paralyzed man who had his 4 wonderful friends who they were trying to bring to Jesus. The place was full. They couldn't get in. So they went up the roof and they took off the roof a portion and they dropped this man before Jesus. The Bible says in Luke chapter 5 concerning this man that from verse 20 that when Jesus saw their faith, he said to him, man, your sins be forgiven you. And the scribes and the Pharisees began to reason, saying, who is this who speaks blasphemy? Who can forgive sins but God alone? But when Jesus perceived their thoughts, Jesus answered them and said to them, why are you reasoning in your heart? Which is easier to say, your sins are forgiven you, or to say, rise up and walk? But that you may know that the Son of Man has power on earth to forgive sins, he said to the man who was paralyzed, I say to you, arise, take up your bed and go to your house. Verse 25. And immediately he rose up before him, took up what he had been lying on, departed to his own house, glorifying God. Now verse 26, and that's where I'm going, 6. And they were all amazed. And they glorified God and were filled with fear, saying, we have seen strange things today. As you wait upon the Lord, may the Lord grant you strange testimonies. You are going to pray that God will grant you strange testimonies. The kind of testimonies that when you share, people listen to you and they want to come and see you privately because they don't believe the full story. May God shock you with a testimony. A strange one, one that you have never seen before, one that is beyond your expectation. May the Lord bless you with that kind of testimony. Are you ready for that kind of testimony? I want you to lift up your voice and begin to pray right now that the Lord will grant me, in this time of waiting upon the Lord, grant me a strange testimony in the name of Jesus. That which is beyond my own understanding, that which is beyond my own expectation. Lord, let it be my portion in the name of Jesus. Let that be my portion in the name of Jesus. Lift up your voice and call upon him. In this season of waiting upon the Lord, he will give you that which is exceedingly abundantly above all that you have asked of, thought of, or even imagined in the name of Jesus. As we wait upon you, Lord, I stand in agreement with everyone connected to this service, Lord, that in this season you will grant us a strange testimony. In this season you will do that which will baffle the experts in the name of Jesus. Lord, have your way. Oh God, may you do that which is beyond my own capacity. May you do that which is beyond my own understanding. May you do that which is beyond my own expectation in the name of Jesus. Overwhelm me with the testimony in the name of Jesus. Lord, we bless your holy name. We thank you for this will be our portion. We give you praise. We give you glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Hallelujah. Whenever you come before God, please remember, it's a waste of time to ask God for ordinary things. It's a waste of time to ask God for natural things because he will give you the supernatural. That's the God that we serve. When we come before him and waiting upon him, may you believe God for things that are beyond your own understanding. And he will do it for you in Jesus' name. After all, he's the one who calls the things that be not as though they were, and they come into being. After all, that's the God that we serve. The one who is able to actually make you like a watered garden in the midst of a drought. That's the God that we serve. And that will be your portion. Whilst people are complaining, you will be testifying. Whilst people are talking about lack, you'll be walking in abundance. May God bless you with a good problem. Amen. Do you know what a good problem is? May God bless you with a good problem. May God bless you with a good problem. Time will not allow me to go into it. May God bless you with a good problem. After Jesus had used the boat of Peter and Simon to actually preach, of Simon Peter to preach, and later on he said to him, you launch out to the deep. What happened to them? After they launched out to the deep, they caught a great harvest such that their boat began to sink. Now that's a good problem. When it's sinking, not because there's a hole, but it's sinking because of an overload or blessing, that's a good problem. That they had to call some people to come and help them. And when the other boat came, they also took on, and both of them were under pressure. May God give you a good problem. That's when God blesses you to the extent that you need help to manage your blessing. May that be your portion in Jesus' name. Whilst people are shutting down, you'll be expanding. Get ready for strange testimonies, my brother, my sister. Get ready for strange testimonies. Whilst people are saying things are tough, you are saying, I'm looking for people to manage my blessing because it's getting too much. May the Lord overwhelm your storehouses. Amen. Praise God. I just thought it's important we pray that prayer. This morning, as I said, I want to just move on and complete what I was supposed to have come to do. I want to read Matthew chapter 19, verse 3 to 8. Because that summit was a summit, a relationship summit, it's important that I make sure I do what I was instructed to do. Matthew 19, verse 3 to 8, I read that first and then we'll move on from there. It says that the Pharisees also came unto him. Or if you can do it in the New King James Version, I'll be glad. I notice that you are using the old King James. The Pharisees also came to him, testing him and saying to him, is it lawful for a man to divorce his wife for just any reason? And he answered and said to them, have you not read that he who made them at the beginning made them made male and female, and said, for this reason a man shall leave his father and his mother and be joined to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh? So then, they are no longer two, but one flesh. Therefore, what God has joined together, let not man separate. Then they said to him, why then did Moses command to give a certificate of divorce and to put her away? And he said to them, Moses, because of the hardness of your hearts, permitted you to divorce your wives, but from the beginning, it was not so. From the beginning, it was not so. This conversation between the Pharisees and Jesus actually revealed a lot to our own benefit. Because in the conversation, we hear God's original intention. When we talk about something like marriage, it can be viewed from so many perspectives over the decades. Different people, different cultures have all sorts of weird ideas about what marriage is supposed to be like. But as the children of God this morning, I believe it's important for us to look at God's perspective on this thing that we call marriage. Marriage is not just a social construct. It's not just something we do because we belong to society. You are going to discover that God actually has an investment in it. It is something that is close to the heart of God. And the Bible tells us in Malachi chapter 2, verse 13 and 14, when the prophet says, and this is the second time you do, the second thing you do, speaking on behalf of God, you cover the altar of the Lord with tears, with weeping and crying, so he does not regard the offering anymore, nor receive it with goodwill from your hands. That's Malachi chapter 2, verse 13. Then verse 14, it says, yet you say, for what reason? Because the Lord has been witness between you and the wife of your youth, with whom you have dealt treacherously, yet she is your wife and your wife by covenant. She is your wife, and not just your wife, but your wife by covenant. Yes, God regards marriage as a covenant. And this morning, over the next few minutes, I want to share a few things with us on living out the marriage covenant. Because the covenant is not just something we're supposed to discuss. It's actually something that should reflect in the way we live in it. Marriage isn't just something that we should just talk about as if it's a theoretical exercise. Living out the marriage covenant, God regards it as a covenant. He said, the wife, your wife by covenant. What is a covenant? What is a covenant? Simply put, when we talk about a covenant, we are talking about a solemn, a binding agreement that is sealed by vows before God and man. It is a solemn, it's a binding agreement sealed by vows before God and man. And when people get married and they walk up the aisle and we say those vows, sometimes I know our attention is more on the audience than everything else. But actually, those vows, as we are saying them one to another, we are also doing them before God. Because if I could take you back to what I just read in Malachi 2:14, it says, yet you say, for what reason? Because the Lord has been witness between you and the wife of your youth. Guess what? Yes, there may have been many people who came to your wedding. But one thing you need to understand is that as the vows were being exchanged, the Lord was also a witness of those vows. Even if three people attended your wedding, I can assure you, God was there. And he was the witness to the covenant. That's what it says in Malachi 2:14. The Lord has been witness between you and your wife. So the key witnesses to that marriage covenant is not just those family members who came to sign the certificate, which is important for legal reasons. But guess what? God himself was there. God was a key party in it. In the same way that he was a key party in the first marriage when God brought Eve to Adam. God was instrumental in it. So when you look at the marriage covenant, for every marriage covenant, in actual fact, you have the husband, you have the wife, and you have God as a witness. He's a witness to that covenant. He's a witness to that covenant. And that is why God holds the marriage covenant very dear to his heart. It's important to him to the extent that he's a witness to it. It then makes you understand why in 1 Peter 3:7 he tells us that in fact, if we don't actually honor our wives, he says it can hinder our prayer because he's a witness to that covenant. It is that dear to him. He's a witness to that covenant. Now, if he's a witness to that covenant, the question then is this: how are we to live out this covenant? Because I want us to focus on things we need to consider. Because it's very easy to say, oh, we have a covenant. That's why we are married. We are in the covenant before God. We have a solemn agreement. We have made that agreement before God and man. How do we live it out? How do we live it out? Firstly, number one, when we talk about this marriage covenant, it's a covenant that is cut in God. And I will explain it. It's a covenant that is supposed to be lived out in God. The marriage covenant was not meant to be lived out in your own strength. If you try it in your own strength, very soon you will know. Your own strength can only take you so far until the novelty wears off, until the initial excitement wears off, and the frustration starts to set in. And without God, when the frustration starts to set in, you are in trouble. The Bible says in Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, popular scripture, it said, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all, not some, in all your ways acknowledge him and he shall direct your path. Be careful with someone whose approach to marriage is that, oh, well, as far as I'm concerned, I'm an adult. You are also an adult. We are two consenting adults. So we should know what it ought to be done. We don't need anyone to help us. After all, we are two adults. Let's carry on. And they take God out of the equation. That is a recipe for disaster. Right from the beginning. And sometimes we are excited. You say, I like the way that guy talks. He's a very confident man. He may not be born again, but he's a very confident man. He knows what he wants. And then so he says to you, look, all this church thing, all this, we don't need that. We are two consenting adults. We know how to run our marriage. In fact, we will live forever. We will walk into the sunset and our love will never die. It sounds nice. When you are hearing it, your head is expanding, increasing in weight and in volume because of what you've been told. Wait till the first storm hits and you will understand something. You see, for most people, based on what we said at the beginning, the Bible tells us that the Lord has been a witness to the covenant. So the Lord is a witness to every marriage covenant. The Lord is a witness to it. However, the Lord can just be a witness to a covenant, or the Lord can also become a partner in the covenant. For the average marriage, the Lord is a witness. But if you understand that this is a covenant in God, you want to now move to a place where the Lord is no longer just a witness, but he becomes a partner. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he shall do what? Direct your path. Under normal circumstance, a witness is not supposed to be talking to you. It's not supposed to be directing anything. A witness is supposed to observe, to say, okay, this thing happened. But when the person starts to direct you, then the person is part of what you are doing. When you go to become a witness in a wedding, what do? You sit there, when they give the thing, you sign and you walk away. You are not involved in it. But when you get to the point where someone is directing you, the person is now part of the marriage. May you move from having God as a witness to having him as a partner in it. Because that's what we mean when we talk about the covenant in God. That is a covenant that says, God, you are a partner in this matter. In fact, our marriage is now a triangle. A husband, wife, and God. But for most people, God is only a witness. And a witness will observe, but cannot get involved to say anything. My brothers, my sisters, I don't want you to get this wrong. Your relationship with God should play a central role in the marriage covenant. If you compromise that relationship, you are asking for trouble. To be very honest with you, every marriage counselor, every pastor who counsels will tell you, if we were to get our relationship with God right, 95% of what we call marriage problems will not exist. It will not exist. Oh, yes. What do I mean by that? Let me show you this. Ephesians chapter 5. Now, I want to read it from verse 18 to 25. If I can have it in the New Living Translation. Let me just show you this. One of the reasons why we have major challenges when it comes to the marriage covenant is that most people do this thing. I don't know how we manage it. We have this rather bizarre mindset that somehow marriage is separate from our Christian life. So when you have issues, they tell you that, this one is not a church matter. This one is in our marriage. And sometimes I listen to people and I'm like, wow. So you have been able to take marriage out of your Christian life and put it aside. So what then do you come to church to come and do? Performance. Until the relationship with God becomes the center of your life and the center in your marriage, you will struggle. Why do I say that? Let me read the scripture. Ephesians 5:18 says, don't be drunk with wine because that will ruin your life. This is the New Living Translation. It said, instead, be filled by the Holy Spirit, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs among yourselves and making music to the Lord in your heart. And give thanks for everything to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now look at the next verse. And favor, submit to one another, how? Out of reverence for Christ. Out of reverence for Christ. Not even reverence for one another. Out of reverence for Christ. Then it continues. For wives, this means submit your husbands as unto the Lord. And then for a husband is the head of his wife, as Christ is the head of the church. He's the savior of the body, the church. As the church submits to Christ, so you wives should also submit your husbands in everything. For husbands, this means love your wife just as Christ loved the church and he gave his life for her. This passage of scripture has become the subject of many debates. And in fact, there are people who think, hold on, there's a problem with this whole bit about submission. Submission is so old-fashioned. It's because we are not reading it well. It's because we are not actually reading it well. First, it says in verse 21, submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. And then it tells us, okay, why submit to your husbands? Then he says, husbands, now love your wives as Christ loved the church. Now, one day I'll find time and talk about that on his own. Loving someone as Christ loved the church, that is a serious matter. In fact, that kind of love is almost suicidal. Christ loved the church so much, he died for it. It's not a small matter. But guess what? We only like the first part. Wives, submit. No. Let's read this thing in its entirety. Our submission, the unconditional love that he's saying husbands should do, the truth of the matter is this: in the natural, it's impossible. In the natural, it is impossible. In other words, you cannot do it without a relationship with God. It is out of reverence for Christ. You don't have a walk with God, but you want to pick and choose scriptures that will help you. No. Without a reverence for Christ, how do you deal with the natural tendency we have to be selfish? Every natural person wants to look out for themselves first. It is when you start your walk with God that the Spirit of God starts to work through you. And it is that transformation that will enable you to love your wife as Christ loved the church. Because when the church messed up, Christ didn't say, okay, you know what? It is over. It is over between us. Imagine Christ giving up on the church. What will you and I do? It's impossible. And imagine the church saying to Christ, okay, we've had enough. From now onwards, we are going independent. Independent of Christ, where are you going? Everything we do in the name of Jesus. If I were to say to you as a child of God, okay, from now onwards, because you want to be independent of Christ, may you never refer to Christ in anything. What will happen to your Christian life? When we pray in the name of Jesus Christ. When we teach what Christ taught. If you take that out, there's nothing left. And you know what? People are trying to run a marriage covenant without God who instituted it. If it's not a covenant in God, all the things we are talking about will not manifest. So when you say submit, the person says no. When you say love, the person says no. And then they say, okay, pastor, you solve the problem. Solve which problem? The truth of the matter is, until we have a relationship with God, these things cannot flow. They flow out of our reverence for Christ. They flow out of our reverence for Christ. That is why he said in that verse 21, submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. That one, we don't like talking about that. Because he says submit to one another, it seems to bring us to the same level.
But the simple understanding is this: out of reverence for Christ. If it's out of reverence for Christ, if what husband is doing is inconsistent with the word of God, wife should be able to point out to the husband that, my husband, what you are doing is not consistent with the word of God, and you should repent. And that's not the time to say, how dare you tell me I am the head of this home. Out of reverence for Christ means the word of God reigns supreme in our marriage. The word of God becomes the judge, the arbiter in our marriage. So if you take a step that's inconsistent with the word, any of the two parties can say, my brother, this is not biblical. What you have done, you have pushed this too far. And you should be humble enough to look at it in the light of the word and say, you know what? I think you are right. I'm sorry. I repent. So that you don't have people walking around. And I don't want to get into this because sometimes I get too passionate about it. When I see young men who the only thing they want to know about marriage is people submitting to them. So even in their courtship, they are looking for someone who can submit to them. That's the only, that's their memory verse. Wives, submit. That's the only thing they know. Submit, submit. They themselves, they are not submitted. Until you are submitted to Christ, this thing will be a struggle in life. And it has nothing to do with the title you carry. Those of us who are in ministry, you know, no matter the title you carry, until you are submitted to Christ, there will always be fire in your home. It's not a title you carry, it's your submission to Christ. Your submission to Christ is what enables you that even when at some point your flesh pushes you to make the wrong decision, the Spirit of God tells you, keep quiet. Move away from that thing. Don't say what you think you're about to say. And you will keep your mouth shut. Because you have a relationship with God. May we never miss that element. The covenant with God. This is why, please, let me plead with you. On behalf of your pastors, let me plead with you. This is why when we insist that, look, for those of us who are yet to go into the marriage covenant, make sure that the other person you are going into the covenant with is a born-again believer. It is not because of church membership. It is not just because we want to keep people in church. No, we have seen it. We have heard it. We have seen people live it. And we know that when the storms come and the person hasn't got a relationship with God, you will be in trouble. Because this that we are talking about can only be done out of reverence for Christ. Out of reverence for Christ. Because if you leave the natural person can do a lot of damage. Oh yes, you know, in Galatians 5, just from verse 19 to 21, it tells about what a sinful nature can do. It says in Galatians 5, 19 to 21, it says, when you follow the desires, still in the New Living Translation, when you follow the desires of your sinful nature, it says, the results are very clear. Then it starts to list the results. Sexual immorality is a result of sinful nature. No excuse. Don't give me any excuse. Let's not even start that argument. Sexual immorality is as a result of a sinful nature. Don't start your theories. Because you're not there for me. Because you're, don't start. It's a result of a sinful nature. Impurity. Lustful pleasures. And it continues. Idolatry. Sorcery. Which is like magic. Hostility. Quarreling. Jealousy. Outburst of anger. Some people are anointed with it. The anger they generate, if you can convert it to energy, we'll have electricity. They're always angry. What is running through them, when they sit in front of you, you can sense it. It's like they are on a warpath. Outburst of anger. Those kind of, when they call you to their home because there's a problem, you better wear a helmet. You don't know what will meet you at the door. Outburst of anger. Selfish ambition. It's selfish ambition that sometimes had led some people to walk out on their children. Say, I'm going to live my life. I want to be free. And you look at the faces of your children and you walk away. 20 years later, you hear that your daughter is going to be married.
And then you say, father of the bride.
You want to present yourself, father of the bride. Why do we stress people? Now your daughter is looking at you. And quite frankly, just because of respect for pastor, if she had a little hammer, she would do some things that would not be nice. Say, but I am the father. Nobody can deny that I'm the father. The results of the sinful nature are clear. That is why, please, our relationship with God is not just so that you can be in the name of the church's register, that I'm a member. No. Please, it should affect your life. It should affect your day-to-day life. As the child of God, you cannot look in the face of those small boys and girls, 4 or 5 year old, and walk out on them, I'm going to live my life. You are not the only one who is feeling pressure. But you have a responsibility. Trust God to help you to raise those children together so that truly a time will come they will rise and call you blessed. As children of God, we cannot give excuses for that. We cannot be in the kingdom of God and treat our own children like that. And then later when we finish, we want to quote scriptures to them. After all, the Bible says, honor your father and your mother. Can I talk? It's too late anyway. I will say it. Even if you say no, I'll say it. We cannot. We stress and we create confusion.
Let me delve into a controversial matter. I can do that because when I finish, I'm going. Reverend Steve will come and clean it up. Can I share the truth with you? One of the first things I did when I wasn't in full-time ministry, but I did as someone who's serving in church, was to look after teenagers. And anybody who's been in the teen ministry, there's a baptism that you undergo. When you get close to the teenagers, you start to detect something. You start to detect a conflict that they go through. And do you know what causes the conflict? Some of them, they come to you and they are like, but pastor, what you are teaching and what I see at home, they don't match. So why do you want me to come to church? Oh, yeah. And sometimes when they tell you certain things, your ears will drop. It will shake you. And most of us, we started a teen ministry when we were very young. When they hit you with a thing, you don't know what to do with yourself. Because you are looking at them and you know their parents. And you're like, what do I do with this one? And they are saying to you, but pastor, no, what you are saying, I don't believe it. I don't believe it. Why don't I? Well, I don't believe it because I know what daddy is doing. And I know where mommy goes. So what is this that you are saying? You come and stand there, you are preaching and sweating and shaking. It doesn't move them. The reason why it doesn't move them is because they are not seeing evidence of it at home. This should be a covenant that is built and lived out in God, or else we'll be deceiving ourselves. So that when the person's standing and he's leading worship and he's singing, and we all say, the glory of God is coming down. And their son is sitting somewhere looking, saying, he has started his performance again. Yesterday, the uppercut he gave mommy,
Now he's using the upper car to hold the microphone.
That young man says to himself, I'm waiting. On the day I enter university, forget church.
On the day I get to the point I can make my own decision, I'm not coming anymore.
And so the time comes, come to church, I'm not coming. Now they are too old for you to shout on them. When you shout, they'll shout back. So they say, I'm not coming. And you know what we say? Ah, the devil has attacked the youth.
It started way back. Way back. Way back. The best way to train up a child is not just by instruction, it's by modeling. Model the lifestyle. Model the lifestyle. Model it so that it becomes natural to them.
So that when the child grows up and the child, all that they have seen is that their father respects their mother and their mother respects their father. When they go anywhere and they see people not respecting each other, it's strange to them. They come back home and say, ah, daddy, can you believe it? That my friend, his father insulted the mother. What is wrong with them?
Because what has become normal to them is a life that shows respect, mutual respect. When the time comes for that kind of person to make their own decision,
they will stay in the house of God. This covenant has to be done in God, or else we are joking. Church is not a place for us to come and play games. Amen. I say to people, please, bear this in mind. For most of us, we need to understand this. When you are single, it's very easy to come to church and come and do your own stuff. But you know the difference?
On the day you get married,
you take part of the church with you home.
From then on, the church is no longer in North Legon. The church is in your house.
So the performance you used to come and do on Sunday, now the church is living with you. And the true fruit, we will see it at home. So when you hear people say, ah, you know, as for marriage, it's something else. Oh, it's a very, very, it's the real thing. In fact, it's not something else, it's the real thing. Because that is when the church is living with you at home. They see you in the morning, in the afternoon, in the evening, at night. They see everything about you. So the fruits that you bear, they see it at home. They don't just see your gifting, they see your character. That's why, let me throw this in very quickly. For those of us who are yet to go into the marriage covenant, please, never ever marry somebody because of their gift.
Never marry somebody because of their gifting. You marry them because of their character. Never marry someone because of their gifting. What is the gifting going to do for you? The person can sing. Yeah.
But when you marry them, well, they go around the whole house every from morning to night singing.
No. That's not what it's about. I remember years ago, somebody came to me. He said, wow, pastor. But I wasn't even a pastor then. He said, look, Andy, I'm sure you must have married Helen because of the way she can sing. I said, let me tell you two things. Number one, she can sing. Boy, the girl can sing. That one, I agree with you. But number two, it has nothing to do with why I married her. Because I didn't marry so that I would form a choir in my house. I was not looking for a choir master or a choir leader or a recording artist. I was looking for a wife.
So the gift is one thing, but the character, because at the end of the day, the gift many will celebrate, but you will live with the character.
You will live with the character. So when you are making that choice, always understand, many will celebrate the gift, but you are the one that will live with the character.
That is why you can have somebody who is very popular, even seem to be doing well in ministry, because they have a gift. When they see you, they can tell you the phone number of your grandmother. Not your own phone number. They will go deeper than that.
That's gift.
But if their character doesn't match it, guess what? The person married to them
will be living with a character. Then the whole world will celebrate the gift. But you are living with a character. So if you see something challenging with a character, and you come and say, you know, that guy behaves this way, this lady, everybody looks at you and say, oh no, that's not possible. That is not possible. Such a gifted man, such a gifted woman. Oh no, that's not possible. They are looking at gifts. You are living with character. So when the time comes and you need to make a choice, always remember, people will celebrate gifts. You will live with character. That's what you will live with. That is what you will live with. That is why your covenant has to be a covenant in God. Let me quickly add this one and I stop. The next aspect of the covenant is that it's a covenant of sacrifice. A covenant of sacrifice. The covenant of sacrifice simply says, I will put you first. The covenant of sacrifice. The willingness for us to sacrifice is a very key ingredient in the marriage covenant. Because it focuses on what you will give the other rather than what you are going to get. What you will give. It takes some level of maturity to understand the covenant of sacrifice. Because you see, there can't be fulfillment in marriage. There cannot. If you enter without being prepared to give anything, you are not prepared to give anything. And let me say this. I know sometimes we use this, but we have to get the right context. This whole idea of, as for me, this is how I am, it worries me sometimes. Let me be very honest with you. It worries me. This is how I am. Because if this is how you are, then how are you going to grow? If this is how you are, it will hinder your ability to sacrifice anything. Because as for you, this is how I am. Accept me as I am. In other words, I'm not going anywhere. I am not ready to change anything. This is how I am. And sometimes when people say it, it sounds nice. It's like, yes, for me, this is how I am. You better accept me as I am. Really? And we are going to be in this journey for the rest of our lives? The way you are. We are going to be in this journey for the rest of our lives. But it sounds nice. As for me, this is how I am. Please, let me give a little, just a very little humble advice. If you want to have things your own way, most of the time in your life, you want to always have things your own way. For you, it's either your way or the highway. You want to have things your own way. If you want things your own way, then please do the world a favor. Don't marry. I beg you, don't marry. Marry yourself. Don't go and stress anybody's son or anybody's daughter. Stay by yourself. As for me, I can't stand anything. You have to accept me the way I am. It's either my way or the highway. We will choose the highway. Stay on your own. Because anybody you bring, you will become a burden, not to just to the person, but a burden to their pastor as well. You will get to a point, can I let you in a secret? You get to a point where even when your pastor sees you, the pastor will be running away. Because every time they see you, there's another problem. The pastor is saying, there they come again. Nothing is changing. No. The covenant of sacrifice says, I'm ready to put you first. But you see, why is that important? One thing I found out when you look at scripture, it's not even something that is just specific to marriage. No. Let me show you a couple of scriptures. Romans 12:10. What does Romans 12:10 say? Romans chapter 12, verse 10. You can look at it in the New King James, that's fine. Let's look at it, the NKJV. It says, be kindly affectionate to one another with brotherly love, in honor, giving what? Preference to one another. giving preference to one another.
Philippians chapter 2, verse 3 and 4 says, Philippians 2, 3 and 4 says, let nothing be done with selfish ambition or conceit, but in lowliness of mind, let each one, that's Philippians 2, 3, let each esteem others better than himself. That's Philippians chapter 2, verse 3. Let nothing be done with selfish ambition or conceit, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than himself. That is what scripture tells us. And he goes on to say, and let each of you look out not only for your own interest, but also for the interest of others. For us to actually be exemplary Christians, we are supposed to be able to prefer one another. We are supposed to be in a point where we can be humble enough to actually give somebody else the honor. Yes. Breaking news. Life is not just about you. No, it's not just about you. You are not the one who's supposed to be always the center of attraction. No. He said preferring one another, esteeming one another better than ourselves. That's Christian life. That's Christian life. Esteeming one another better than ourselves. And sometimes that also involves and includes a husband who on a particular matter decides to esteem their wife better than themselves. Hello? Yes. You are not going to boss every issue. Sometimes you don't even know much about the subject. But you are there. I'm the head. I'm the head. This I'm the head thing. It has affected some people's heads. I'm the head. I'm the head. Esteem each other better. Years ago, I came across a case where a guy is having major problems, major legal problems in their business. He's married to a very good lawyer. Have you spoken to your wife? No way, no. And I'm just looking at him. No, because he's not on talking terms with his wife. So I'll manage it myself. So, well done. I'm very impressed. Very, very impressed by the levels of wisdom you are displaying. Others are coming to the same wife for legal counsel to do their business. You, no, 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 no. How can you bring yourself low to say, I need help? After all, you are the head. What kind of head is that one? What kind of, that head needs deliverance. That head should be brought to Reverend Stanley so that they can lay hands and sort some few things out. Learn to esteem each other. You see, once again, if we were to go back and understand that in actual fact, just obeying the word of God will solve 95% of our challenges. Just obeying the word of God. It is there already. It is not a secret. I know sometimes we authors and counselors, we like to say things. The secret of successful marriage is Bible. It is there. If we were to be honest and live that life, you'll find out that what we are calling secrets, you already know. Humble yourself. Esteem one another. If you are ready to esteem one another, you'll be ready to sacrifice for one another. And that is what a covenant of sacrifice is about. Being ready to sacrifice for one another. Because there are times when you simply realize that, look, this thing we are doing is teamwork. We need each other. And if you have followed any team sport before, you will know this, that for a team to be effective, there are times when situations change, they even change their roles so that they will be effective. Those who follow football, for example, if something happens and they are about to score a goal against you and the person who is at the back happened not to be the defender, but he happened to be an attacker, would the attacker stand and say, where are these defenders? Where are these defenders? We want them here. They are not here. No, what do? You, the one, the last man who is there, you do everything to stop them scoring against you. That's how an effective team works. The covenant of sacrifice says we are in this thing together. And so we are ready to give to one another. So there are times when you may not be able to do certain things you usually do. I will step in for you. I will step in for you. I will step in and make it happen. Years ago, I came across a situation where a guy whose wife was pregnant and had a very difficult pregnancy. So much so that the doctor said the woman had to have bed rest. The man said, no way, not here. Which bed rest? Came to see me and said, Pastor, can you imagine? My wife has become lazy. So lazy. She won't even cook anymore. I started just investigating, asking questions. Then I found out that the doctor had given this lady bed rest. He said, doesn't even wake up to cook. I said, my brother, please, can we talk? Were you there when the doctor said that? He said, yes. Have you been pregnant before? He said, no. Do you understand why you are in this thing called marriage? Please, to cut a long story short, from now onwards, until that child is born, if she doesn't gain her strength, what you are going to do, number one, keep praying for her. Number two, you now provide food for the house. He was looking at me. I said, yes. Do you want her to come and stand in the kitchen and collapse? And then you rush her to the hospital and say, the devil has struck. No. In the covenant of sacrifice, you are there for each other. You watch, and there are times when the roles will switch. Because you are there to support one another. Let me stop here for the sake of time. May God grant us wisdom and grace that in our homes, our marriages will be a testimony. Father, I commit everyone connected to this service into your hands, O God. Lord, I pray that from this day, may we live out the covenant that you fashion for us in the name of Jesus. May our homes be a message to the world, O God. May our marriages be a message even to our children in the name of Jesus. Lord, may our light shine in our marriages that men will see and give glory to you, O God. Grant us the grace. Help us to be examples. Help us to be true examples in the name of Jesus. And today, O God, I pray that if there be anyone here who finds themselves in a position of difficulty, may your outstretched arm touch their hearts, O God. May your hand bring peace and understanding to their homes in the name of Jesus. Heavenly Father, heal that home. Restore that home. Restore that home in the name of Jesus. Minister healing to the heart that is hurt, O God. And let your perfect will be done in that home. That marriage that is being destroyed because of selfish ambitions. Father, we pray for a turnaround. We pray for a turnaround. Touch the heart of my brother. Touch the heart of my sister. In the name of Jesus. That Lord, by the end of this month, there shall be restoration. There shall be restoration in that home in the name of Jesus. Lord, we thank you. May the glory be yours and yours alone. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. God bless you. Hallelujah. Oops. Praise God. I want us to just stand to our feet in just for 1 minute. Thank you, Lord Jesus. You know, we've been talking about the importance for us to have this covenant in God, and I explained to us that, look, this has to be done out of reverence for Christ. It's not just about what you know. It's about your relationship with God. Your relationship with God. It's not just about what you have read. You are here this morning, and you have not had the opportunity to receive Jesus as your Lord and personal Savior. I want to give you this opportunity. Because that's where you have to start that journey. That's how we start our relationship with God. As many as believed, to them he gave them the power to become the sons of God, the children of God. You are saying, Pastor, I want you to pray with me so that I receive Jesus as my Lord and my personal Savior. This morning, with all eyes closed. This is your heart cry. I want you to step out and join me here so that I can pray with you. You are saying, Pastor, I want you to pray with me as I accept Jesus as my Lord and my personal Savior. We have some people here. You used to have a relationship with God, but because of some challenges, quite frankly, you strayed. But you know, the good news is that as long as you have the breath of life, there is hope. And we serve a God who is always ready to welcome you back, just as the father of the prodigal son welcomed him back home. Today, this is your opportunity. There shall be restoration in the name of Jesus. And so I want to call on you wherever you are. Just come forward. Just come forward. Just come forward. I want to pray with you. As you accept Jesus as your Lord and personal Savior, as you call upon him for that restoration, that God himself will restore you in the name of Jesus. You find yourself in a situation where, quite frankly, you are at the edge. You have done everything. You've gotten to the point you are about to give up. Today, there will be restoration in Jesus' name. Today, there will be restoration in the name of Jesus. I want you to step out right now. I want to pray with you before I hand over this microphone. Wherever you are, with all eyes closed, just step out. Just step out, boldly. I want to pray with you. Just step out. God bless you as you do so. Just step out. Wherever you are, just step out. I want to pray with you. I want to pray with you. I want to pray with you. Wherever you are, just join them. You are at that edge. You've tried everything. Everything. And it seems as if, look, nothing is going to work anymore. Some of us is our home. Where it has gotten to, you are like, God, is over. May the Lord bring restoration. For this next 60 seconds, just join us. Just join us. As we are led by the praise team, just join us. Just join us very quickly. I want to pray that prayer for you. Just come. Just come. Wherever you are, just join us. In the name of Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Yes, Lord. There shall be restoration. There shall be restoration. There shall be restoration. Now is the time to make that decision. Yes, Lord. Thank you, Lord Jesus. I want to pray with my brothers here. Thank you, Jesus. I want you to say this prayer after me very quickly, and I pray for you. Say, dear Father, I thank you for sending Jesus to come and die for me. Lord, today I confess that I believe your son Jesus came to die for me and was resurrected. I accept him as my Lord and my personal Savior. Lord, I thank you that you are my strength. And from today, I want to live for you. Thank you, Father. In the name of Jesus Christ, I pray. Amen. Let me pray for you. Heavenly Father, I thank you. I commit my brothers into your hands and everyone else who's connected with us, even on any of the virtual platforms, who is praying this prayer. Lord, may you bring restoration to these lives in the name of Jesus. Father, we declare today that nothing will pluck these people out of your hands for the rest of their lives in the name of Jesus. Father, protect them. Grant them peace. Grant them strength, that from this day their walk with you will grow from glory to glory, from strength to strength in the name of Jesus. Let their lives be a blessing. From today, use them. Let them be an example to others. May your work manifest in them, that the world will see them and give you the glory. In the name of Jesus, we cancel every plan of the devil set against you. And we declare that from today, you will operate in dominion in the name of Jesus. May victory be your portion. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Congratulations. God bless you. God bless you. Please go with this brother for me.